Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Dave Hasty. Josh, are you there? Hi, I'm Dave Hasty.
I'm Josh Betteridge.
And I'm George Ashwell, and we are Before the Lights.
Before the Lights.
We run a gym in central London where we train actors for film roles. Everything from superhero workouts.
Is trying to work out with Hugh Jackman just ridiculously intimidating?
Yeah. I was like, oh, I lifted a 160 deadlift or something the other day. And he was like, oh, mate, that's really good. Well done. Wait, are you talking pounds or kilograms?
To keeping people ticking over mentally and physically between jobs.
When I'm working as an actor, you're like, oh my gosh, I never knew that life could be this amazing. When you're not working, that can then feel like... I remember all of those older actors who were very sad whenever they weren't working. And I'm like, now I get it.
Our day-to-day is in the gym, but this is absolutely not a podcast about how to work out or get ripped. You might get the odd tip every now and again, because that is how we earn our living. But the main reason we're here is just to chat to our clients about their careers and their relationship with fitness.
This is where I start to sound kind of like one of those actors who's going to talk about his process. Like, you got to look after your instrument, man.
Expect everything that goes on behind the scenes, when they're on sets, on stage, or embarrassing themselves during a workout.
It's me running, and you just see, like, my hands. I keep on going. So you just see me kind of, you like, limping out of shot.
I was first up for the relay team, and I didn't have any spikes. We set off face-planted on the tarmac, and I just heard Scott Dawson, who I fancied so much, go,
shout out, Scott.
Liv, your ass is munching on your shorts! Like that.
You're listening to the Before the Lights podcast.
This week's episode, we have the wonderful Connor McNeil, who plays Kenny in industry, amongst, we find out, a million other things that he does professionally. Lots. He is a busy man.
Currently under contract, and couldn't disclose too much about his upcoming projects, but hopefully by the time people listen to this episode, all that stuff will be well and truly out there. So things might make a little more sense.
Many. I could just listen to his accent all day anyway on a podcast. Beautiful voice.
He does do audiobooks as well, which you can imagine.
Bedtime
very
voice.
Good. Bedtime voice.
Connor.
Jalapeno.
Yeah, it's very
what do you call it?
Can I have some fajitas, please, mate?
Jalapeno.
No, you said it. Yeah.
Josh is the type of person that says chorizo as well.
No.
And paella. He does it all. He really commits.
What do you say?
Twats. Jalapeno.
I don't respect the language.
Jalapeno.
I just go
that, jalapeno. Yeah, you can't
it's
do that. Yeah, you can't do that.
Jalapenos.
Jalapeno.
The reason we do this at the beginning is because it takes Dave about 10 minutes to warm up to introducing us to the podcast before we start.
Are we recording already?
Yeah.
Have I said anything?
It's not live, don't worry.
I know, but still, I don't trust you guys.
You can see, we're gonna...
So why am I here?
Well, who knows?
It's a good start.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Before the Lights podcast. And this week's guest, Connor McNeil.
Hello.
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 We would describe you as a writer, an actor.
Yeah.
Director?
Not yet.
Not
maybe
yet.
One day, yeah.
In the future?
Yeah.
Just a behemoth of the creative arts.
Thank you very much, guys. Thank you for having me.
Also, stage supreme. You did The Ferryman for how long?
For very long. I did it for 11 months on Broadway, West End, and then 5 months on Broadway.
Insane.
Wow. Are there very different crowds, like a London crowd and a New York crowd?
Massively, yeah.
Really?
The Americans are really vocal, and an English audience a little more, I suppose, respectful or restrained or whatever, but the American audience will shout out and...
What, during the play?
Yeah, not like shout out in a bad way, but like they're very vocal in the reactions. Like they'll let you know they're having a good time.
Mm. Yeah, I remember going to the cinema in America for the first time and it was insane. I'm like, why is everyone interrupting the film? Yeah. They're like, oh my God, it's happening. And you're like, whoa, is that what you do here?
Very funny. Yeah, it's good.
I'm not sure if I watched it with you in it or not, but I remember going there with like the respect.
You forgot?
Respect the play. I don't think I knew you. I don't think I knew you.
He was in it for 11 months, Josh.
I don't think I knew you.
Odds on you. Chances are he was in it.
But I remember everyone was like...
Were you in every show in London?
Yeah, I don't think I missed the show in London.
So then you would have seen
him. I didn't know him by then.
I did miss a show in London. Oh, this brings us...
That was it. That was the show.
Into keeping fit.
Oh, yeah.
And looking after your body. I wasn't really keeping... Well, no, I was keeping fit.
I was going to ask, don't you have to... Like, that's a lot of...
You do when you're doing 8 shows a week, but we had a big fight sequence. Me and Tonglen Carney had a fight sequence, and I, whatever way I turned my neck, I woke up the next morning and my neck was locked. So I couldn't turn. I had to turn my full body to turn left or right.
Robot
right?
Accent.
So I was like this.
Hello.
And I came in, and they were like, you're not going on stage. And I was like, no, I'm absolutely fine. I'm absolutely fine to go on stage. And they were like, you're not going on. So I missed like 4 shows.
I was at one of those.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah. Part I was played by Conor McNeil is now going to be played by Conor McNeil's robot.
Yeah.
would that have been before we met you doing that? Because you came into us when it was a few years ago now, wasn't it? Like,
why did I come to you first, George? There was a reason.
There usually is a reason.
I think you were doing the play when we met. So that
maybe it was after your neck.
2017?
Would it have been that?
It probably was after my neck.
Yeah. You trying to not let that happen again.
Yeah. And also just like keeping your stamina. Like now in hindsight, I wasn't fit enough to do a play full stop. As in like physically fit. Yeah. Doing 8 shows a week of a 3.5 hour long play, you need to be like your energy levels and everything. So you need to keep that up.
Yeah.
And it's, starting in the middle of it when you're already tired to start trains, a really difficult thing. You need to be prepped before.
Mm. Oh, you can't start. I wouldn't have thought it'd be impossible to start in the middle. Because by that point, you're already kind of fatigued anyway.
Yeah.
Because like when you get to the end of a run, do you feel like you just want to kind of sit down and chill for like a week?
When we finished in New York, me and Laura Donnelly and Frafi went to LA for like 2 weeks and did nothing. Like we cycled and swam and hiked a bit and it was like just amazing.
And do you now, like having done that and not kind of put any attention on your health and fitness and prep. Is that something now that you'd always like try and factor in, you reckon?
100%. Like we were talking about this today, George, about a baseline. Like you need a baseline of like health and fitness for our job to be able to do it properly, yeah. I think.
Mm. I guess it gives you a bigger kind of scope for potential jobs as well, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because if you know like you're capable of being whatever, like trying to get to a certain point of fitness or a certain point of strength or... whatever it is, you kind of know where you're at in as a starting point.
100%. And also just even in general, like feeling good and feeling healthy only benefits the work, right? It, like if you're sleeping well and you're energetic and all of that stuff, going even in the meetings and everything, it has a massive impact on it compared to lazing about for a load of weeks and doing jobs. And like,
or like getting pissed. People are surprised when they realise that being fit and healthy helps with creativity and...
Massively.
Not just like working and then partying and then working again, which is kind of the old habit of sort of 10, 15 years ago of people
going mad for it.
Just enjoying themselves in between each project because they've been worked so hard. When actually look after yourself and you enjoy yourself a little bit, that's your
also sort of like we were talking about
recipe
like,
for success.
I'm going to do a job that we're not allowed to talk about,
but
that it's an action job and it's physical and it's fit, and so it was a really quick turnaround from being offered it till when we start shooting. It was a really tight turnaround time. And so I have to get fit very quickly, but having that baseline that I come into you guys every now and
then. Well, that's what you've done really well in the last couple of years, I guess. Because you trained before industry, and then you've maintained it and then trained again before the second season
and very
industry.
Differently as well. We were talking about that today, weren't we?
That's something I wanted to talk about in general, was that the show is all about like the world of investment banking, which is just go, 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 and it's kind of like hammering it.
and they burn out when they get to like 40 or whatever.
But they are all training as well. That's the thing as well. They're all like mad in the gym, mad on the paint.
Everything
mad
to 100%, like, don't they? For like, there is a sort of finite time you can do that for. I guess you can't like train to be in that mindset of playing those characters or anything, but could you, is that something you had to like prepare for?
I think with training with you guys, like I wanted to get really tight. Mm. Like I wanted him to be wound up and quite like that. And we'd done that.
You were training like he would train.
Yeah.
And we were doing like pretty aggressive training in a sense of like to get you in that mindset. And I think you were sort of personally getting into the mindset of the character anyway as you built up to it. So it's kind of like. Like, and then, I mean, I don't know
how much... He's such an angry guy.
Yeah, how much people know about the next series of it, but, like, the character shift.
There is a character shift, and we shifted how we were training.
You shifted your lifestyle in order to
massively
sort of adapt to
and
it.
Like, but even just in, like, stripping down and losing a bit of weight as well, and, like, he's a bit more chilled in the second season, so, like, changing everything up a wee bit was massive. And he looks so different. I look so different. I have a beard and everything in season 2, so it's massively different.
When you watch it, the shift in
how we trained,
and how his character was quite interesting.
Yeah.
Being in the mindset of your character isn't just like learning what type of person he is and what type of like what he's going to say. It's like, no, you actually have to like go, okay, what would this person do? What music would this person listen to? What would this guy do in the gym? And it's like all the things we can try and incorporate.
Also great, like whenever we were up there, we were really lucky in the place they put us up in. And we shoot it in Cardiff, and there's a gym in the apartment block. And I go and train. You sent me like wee lists of things to do or whatever, and I go and train. But like having that hour of training to just think about the part without being like analysing the script or doing anything, like it's just you in your head working out, is so helpful as well. Like it gives you a really good space to do it.
Are there other things you do like in terms of like prep for any role, whether it's training or
reading? Like in the industry, like I read, like I tried to read Finance for Dummies. It didn't work out. I don't know anything about finance. It's terrible to say, but I know very little about banking.
It's a good show in the sense of it doesn't
just
like,
read the
you
lines.
You don't have to know anything about it really, because you get you get an idea of the culture of the place pretty straight away.
It's the personal relationships, right? Yeah. It's like more about that.
Me and Emily called it, my wife, we called it Sexy Bankers. That was our reference
for
the show.
Apart from literally directed Kenny. At you only.
Yeah.
Should we watch the Sexy Banker today? Sexy Banker.
I mean, Amber, my fiance, who's just started like watching it for like 4 or 5 years now, she's like, it wasn't like this when I started. This is all, damn, this all changed. She didn't have all the fun.
It's a dramatization of banking.
Yeah, it is. It is a drag. That's unfair. Actually, I have a mate who works in banking, and I went and worked with him for a day on his floor.
Oh, amazing. Tell us about
that. Like a work experience kid.
Yeah, I did.
Like
a son going with him. It was like, what was more interesting was the banter. That's what I really watched on the banter, because actually the job stuff was pretty dull for me. I was like, all right. They're like at a computer now and again chatting to someone on the phone a little bit. But the banter was really real, and that helped our show massively. Yeah. Like, banter's a huge part of it.
But that's why it's renowned for that, because the job is so boring or, like, so high stress is they have to, like, get out somehow, so they will just rip the pit. I mean, we do, too, to be fair.
Whenever you're dealing with, like, millions of pounds and it's your responsibility as to whether you lose that or double it or whatever, that's terrifying, right?
We just worry about if we count to 12 or not the right way when we're doing reps.
I still use all my fingers to do that.
There was a couple of moments today where we both just went, am I done yet? And I was like, I don't know, we were talking about something. I've completely lost track.
We're not great at counting reps, George?
No. To be fair, it's not your responsibility.
No, it's definitely me. I've been called out on this podcast for not keeping track. You're just
a distraction. Just go with 8. 8's always a safe bet.
I do like distracting as well.
You are the ultimate.
The king
of distractions. You once came in and sat in the reception. I think we were like 20 minutes into your session before I realised that you had deliberately just been telling stories so that you didn't, because you came in, you're like, I don't want to do this today. 20 minutes later, I was like, shit, we're literally 20 minutes in and we haven't even gone in the gym yet.
It's the maddest thing as well, because I always feel amazing after being in there, but I hate it.
Starting, you hate starting.
I hate starting and I enjoy it when I'm
Do you hate it all the way in? Like if you're on your way, is the whole journey you just go like, fuck.
imagine angry Connor on his bike.
No, I like chuffed to get there, and then when I get there, I go, oh yeah, no, I don't like this place. Only joking, yeah.
I do think we get away with that, where people are coming to see us, so they're quite happy to like come to see us.
Yeah.
But then when they get there, they realise, oh shit, I'm not just hanging out with them, I have to do shit. And then there's like a momentary, like during the warm up normally, where people are like, oh,
is that, would that then mean that if you weren't coming in, you wouldn't bother sort of with exercise? I suppose we touched on it earlier.
I do, but I'm really kind to myself in the gym. like,
when,
like,
when you're going, is that 12? You're like, yeah, that was 12.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, just like things that are, yeah, I don't know, like legs never get done. I'm like, I'll do the legs tomorrow, I promise.
But we
myself.
Have to fight to do legs. You just want to do chest and arms every
chest
time.
Chest and arms, it's dead easy.
I love it when Connor comes in because he's like my little bit I'll call it like 7-minute therapy when it's just, you don't ask how are you, so how are you feeling today, Josh? I'm gonna offload to Connor now for 10 minutes.
That's good though, I like that.
We get a little bit back, it's great.
And then we just, yeah, it's like quite reciprocal. Mm.
But it is really good in there. That's why the gym is so good. Is like, I was thinking about it today, like you guys give such an, you set up an amazing, there's loads of personal trainers here, really good. But you just make a space where it's like, you feel like you're part of something bigger and you can totally be yourself in there. You can talk about how you're feeling. It's like kind of, special, guys. I'm going to start crying.
Yeah. I'll have to leave. I'll feel awkward.
Dave doesn't cry. I'll start crying with you.
Josh will definitely cry. Yeah.
Josh, what do you reckon people should do if they're a fan of this podcast?
Oh, I think they should like it, share it, and subscribe to it.
Well done. That's great. Yeah, I like that.
Well, I do want to talk about Belfast.
Oh, do you?
Do you?
The city.
Okay. Do you talk about Belfast? Because I'm not really in Belfast, the movie. And people keep...
But
like,
you are in it, but you're not
ever
really
so, ever so momentarily.
Right.
And like it was like a thing where there was a part and Ken was like, well, you're around, do you want to come do it? It was in the middle of lockdown. And I went and done it. And I'm really privileged that I got to be part of something that's done so well and so special. But I'm not really in that film.
Go watch it. I'm really proud of it. Just don't expect to see it.
Yeah. But I'm slightly there.
It's a nice town. City.
It's a great city.
City. Sorry.
That's what you wanted to talk about though, Dave, isn't it?
I wanted to talk about the city. Yeah,
the city of Belfast.
Where's your favourite? What's your favourite part?
My favourite part of Belfast?
Did you grow up in it or did you grow up out of it?
No, I grew up in West Belfast. Mm. No, I love it. I love going back now as well. Like, we've got class restaurants and stuff. Like, since I moved, it like has become...
Has that happened recently?
Over the last, like, 10 years, maybe.
Is that Game of Thrones money?
I wouldn't be surprised if it had a huge impact on it.
Have they built the big studio tour thing yet?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's like Game of Thrones world.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
great, you know, because that's all down like where the Docklands are, and now they've got this massive walkway. You can do a huge walk down the side of the Docklands.
It's really nice around there.
And they've got loads of art up. It's all Game of Thrones related. Like, and at the start, I was like, "Oh, this is like old Celtic." then as I got closer, it's like a Targaryen.
Yeah. It's like HBO across the top.
Yeah. Yeah, you're like, I don't remember the story from school.
Yeah.
With a QR code.
I mean, the dragon
and queen king came of the and... dragons. What? We had dragons here? Hold on a second.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, so, but yeah, it's great.
Is that not a little bit of kick in the teeth to like Northern Irish culture being like, okay, the most famous thing, yeah.
Our most famous things.
We had the Titanic.
In that same area, there is just a massive Titanic museum.
There is, which is really cool. But what
which is
nobody
worth
talks about.
Going to. I loved it.
In that same area, they built the first
Harrier jump jet.
Harrier jump jet.
The ones that go up.
Yeah. That was created there.
What is he saying?
Harrier jump jet. Yeah. But like, at what age did you move over? Did you come straight to London?
I went to Dublin. I got a job doing in a play in Dublin, and then I got like some TV work in Ireland and stayed there. And then I came to do a play at the Domwar here when I was 22 or 23.
Had you gone to drama school and studied it, or you just went boom?
I was like a child actor. I got done stuff when I was like 14, and then I got a job when I was finishing school, and did that, and that was it. I applied for drama schools though, but I got into two and they wouldn't give me a deferral to the next year night because I booked the job that I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And then all the rest of them wouldn't let me in. Yeah.
But also, you don't need to go to drama school once you work.
No, I'm really grateful.
I guess, yeah, if you're already working, yeah. you got your foot in the door, and it's... Most people, I guess,
they do it
go
to get an
drama
agent
school
or they do it to...
Yeah, 100%, but there's something about learning. Like, I've made mistakes through trial and error on screen or on stage in front of paying customers. Do you know what I mean? As where at drama school, you get to try stuff out and see where you sit. And
but that's to say, like, everybody's going to make, like, mistakes at some point. It doesn't matter, like, if you've studied something or not, I guess. You'd study it to kind of learn the theory, but you can learn it
you
by
still have
doing
to put
it
in
as
action.
Well.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, you got to put the hours in regardless. So I suppose that wouldn't really... Mm. I don't think that would be, like... a negative thing.
Yeah, maybe.
Also, like, learning theories of acting, I suppose, is like learning theories of what we do.
Mm.
There's different ways of making the same thing work, and you could almost be, if you were taught one theory, you could almost be stuck in the rut of only ever doing that theory of acting.
Yeah.
And you've got free rein of whatever you want to do because it's just instinctual.
Did you find that when you did go from, like Belfast to Dublin, then Dublin to London, like what you the types of jobs you were trying to get, did that change?
They got
a lot?
Bigger, but just because I followed a career that was going that way. Do you know what I mean? Like it was like you start in like small theatres in Belfast and then build your way up, but nothing massive, no, not really.
What about lifestyle wise then, in terms of like obviously when you get to London, because it's kind of just like boom. Everything.
Oh, it's a lot of fun, isn't it? Whenever you're 22 or 23, like you amazing, never really.
Did you kind of fall into like a gang? Did you know people here in the first place?
Do you know what? Loads of us from there was a load of Irish actors in Dublin who moved over around the same time, so we had like an instant gang. And then I made mates over here. You make mates through work though all the time.
Yeah. Well, you are like you're also the king of making friends. Like everyone knows you. Yeah.
I just started laughing when Dave went, "Did you join a gang in London?
Did you join a gang?" It was like Charlie Murphy and Sarah Green and Robbie Sheehan and all those guys all moved over around the same time, and it felt like a big wall of Irish actors had just landed in London.
Great. That would have been wicked, wouldn't it? Yeah. Just turn up in a pub and be like, well, it's "I want to be with those guys."
And then it's all of you at like V Festival, and then all of you.
That's
at,
what
like,
I met you at V Festival,
yeah,
didn't
that
I?
Was, yeah.
That'll stand as one of the like. Greatest summers of all time.
Well, there's like V Festival used to be the place where they just, for some reason, give a bunch of 22-year-olds free everything for an entire weekend.
Yeah.
And expect us not to just be useless.
But it was I wasn't useless at the time of my life. I made loads of friends that weekend.
V Festival.
That are still friends now.
And it was just
Arctic Monkeys that year. It was the best.
It was amazing.
That'd be great.
It was so good. It was when they were like at their absolute pinnacle as well.
Yeah, yeah.
It was really cool.
I guess it's like a mixer for like people working. I'm assuming they're mostly like actors.
It was
musicians,
just a bunch of actors, and
not just random 20-year-olds getting given tickets.
Yeah, no, sorry, yeah. Just you. Do you want to go? Yeah.
When you move into you move over to London, you end up like kind of going to all the pubs and meeting all the friends and hanging out with all the different actors and going to festivals and stuff. Is there a part of like life where that becomes too much in terms of? It's kind of expected, isn't it? In the creative world, it's kind of expected that people are out boozing.
I think, especially in a big city, I think any career or any walk of life is like, especially in London, like you notice it, everybody goes after work for a pint. Everybody, like, drink, alcohol's a huge part of everybody's day-to-day here. Even for during the week, it's like, will we meet up for a wine or will we meet up for a thing? So I don't think you can specifically, like, pin it to acting, but... Of course, Jesus, it is like, you know, after if you're doing theatre after a show, people want to buy you a drink or a lot of the events, a lot of the free events like that are sponsored by drink companies. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's like a big thing. I gave up drink for a role that turned into me giving up drink. It was just hilarious.
You just felt so much better.
I felt amazing after 30 days. Yeah. And I noticed how much harder I was working, how much more I was training.
And you gave it up. To get into kind of the mindset of
a character
of
I was playing was sober,
yeah.
I remember you said like one thing that really resonated was like, you said, oh, you feel good after like a week and then 2 weeks, but it's like, I remember you, and you probably still feel the same, like, there's just abundant of feeling great, like, continues, like, you're
this
trajectory
better,
of feeling more and more amazing.
It's mad to talk about this because I've never ever spoke about it, so it's like, it's something I don't speak about that often, and it's not, I think there's a way of giving up booze that, like, it's your identity. Do you know what I mean? And it's not, that's not the case.
I was going
to
say, because like, people automatically view, I stopped drinking for, I think it was like 2 months for like a sports thing.
Yeah.
And the amount of people that just give you shit.
Yeah.
For going somewhere and not drinking. But it was never the intention to do it forever. Yeah. I kind of had like a definite endpoint. But did you find like that was just thing? Like people kind of go, oh, you don't drink anymore.
I had the luxury. It's like such a privilege to be able to go and play a character who's sober.
That's it.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's that British culture of like, people will push you to drink, and unless it's because you've had way too much and you've become an alcoholic and that's why you're sober. That's the only reason that people take as a genuine reason that you're not drinking.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, no, I'm just not drinking at the moment. Like, why? Like, what's wrong
and
with
you? And also, like, I might have a bit, I don't know yet, but I...
Yeah, no, yeah, and you're not, you haven't said I'm not drinking forever.
But I have noticed the impact on like, getting shit done massively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On like your time and on my own like positive energy and fitness levels are just different. Like once you change that and once you go against the grain a bit, you realize there's so much more you can get done in your week.
I guess that must impact you quite a bit because if you're writing, I'm assuming you're writing a lot of time on your own.
Yeah.
And you've got to kind of motivate yourself to do however much you set out. Is that something like you'd say, I'm going to try and get this much done
yeah.
in a day? And then I suppose if you've had a few drinks the day before, it's going to be, well, reduce it to that much or reduce it to that much.
100%. Or like, if you're not boozing, you don't go, I need to be at that party. You're like, I can miss that party, actually. Do you know what I mean? Because for whatever reason, you're just like, do you know what, actually?
If it's like your best mate and it's super necessary, you'll be like, oh, I'll make sure I'll go to that party. But yeah, you don't have to.
So you lose all those things where you, and then you're left with another day, so you can work that day easier. Do you know what I mean? Like, not even just hangover related, actually. Yeah, like, your schedule.
Are there things that you do, just like general practices to kind of make you stick to? I think I would really struggle if I was writing. I would, A, struggle to write something that was worth being read.
Mm. Yeah, I want to talk about talent.
Like. Yeah, but in terms of like the method of it,
I don't know. No, it changes. I'm not. I'm really unstructured, which is really bad because I know loads of people are really like.
But not everyone is though. Not everyone has to be. I don't think I approach
much. You're a keen meditator.
Yeah, I meditate. Yeah. Oh, you're asking about all the stuff I don't talk about.
Yeah, I like it. You don't have to talk about it.
No, I do. I meditation's huge for me. I think it's like every day I'll meditate, and it's a big thing. And I notice when I don't as well. But clearing your head for the day in the morning, working out, genuinely going to the gym and doing a workout, focuses me so much.
Do you like to do those things before you start? Like you start working for
depends.
The day,
it's interesting. It? Sometimes yes, to get yourself up and going. But then sometimes if you're writing a lot and it's pretty like one of the things I'm writing is like huge research over a long period of time. It's historical. It's like working on it all day. Sometimes it's a bit not exhaustive in a bad way, but like it's just it needs a lot of your energy and attention. Then finishing the day, your brain's still worrying. So going to the gym in the evening sometimes
knocks you out,
gets rid of it.
But you're writing like about four different things that we were talking about earlier, and Connor was like, I think that's all of them. Like he's on like five different projects. Yeah. You've written a film with Jamie Dornan.
Yeah,
you could talk about the fact you've done that.
Yeah, we've done that. Yeah,
that's sort of out to just try and get the money and whatever.
Like, it'll hopefully it's one of those things. Like feature films are so weird. It's like. One minute it looks like they're definitely being made, the next minute you don't know, and it's scheduled and all that. But like that saved me and Jamie during lockdown. You know, we wrote that over Zoom during lockdown, and amazing. It was like such a brilliant thing to focus on.
I played
on.
FIFA with my mates over Zoom. You wrote a whole
script.
We
wrote a whole script,
I think, can you talk about what the story is?
It's set in Belfast, kind of loosely. It's set in Belfast, kind of against the backdrop of the rave scene in Northern Ireland during the Troubles. Which is a really interesting
that in itself is a thing
there.
That people probably don't.
It's an amazing
know was a thing.
Yeah,
you just think people just think, oh, Northern Ireland, the Troubles.
Yeah,
but to then think there's obviously life going
underlying,
on
underlying. Yeah,
other things are
culture,
happening.
Like I always talk about home being like, as much as it was went through a really like extreme conflict, we're in the centre of the Western world. Like Manchester had raves going on literally an hour away on a flight. Mm. Dublin was popping off with the music scene. Like. You have London, which is like the height of fashion and the arts in Europe at that point. Not in Europe, but in at the time. And it's like that was all very close to us and we're in the middle of that. So we're still deeply affected by all that.
Yeah,
so you just had a war on the streets.
Yeah. It's talking about something that was there that people wouldn't have
and
considered,
I hope,
really.
I really do hope like we've written something that is about a human experience. It's not, it could be lifted and dropped in loads of other places.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's about really good characters and it's about those characters and not necessarily... It's a great place to have them there in that environment.
The story applies to like...
But you could lift it and drop it in other places and I think it would work.
Uh-huh. Hey guys, it's embarrassing stories time. We've always got some good stories from our guests. We'd love to hear yours though. Go onto our Instagram, Before the Lights UK, drop us a DM with your most embarrassing gym story. And would love to read them. Have a laugh with you.
Listen to the embarrassing stories.
Da da da.
I like it.
Da da da.
No.
There we go. That's that done.
Embarrassing stories from a gym. From your gym?
From any gym.
Just from in training.
You done an evil thing to me in your gym.
What did I do?
You made me get on the Verso when like a movie star actress was in the room.
Oh, really?
I remember this.
And I went super aggressively hard because
I remember this.
She goes, like, I'm really strong, and I could nearly threw up afterwards.
I remember this. It was very early on.
No.
we can beep it out. We can beep out the name. Can we properly?
Who was it?
No, we're not talking about.
We can beep it.
I told you an embarrassing story in a gym.
I'm sure you have.
Where
just an embarrassing story in a gym.
I remember.
So I got to the gym and I had no underwear, so I just put the shorts on with the nets, right? Yes. Then there was net there. And
my
I was
guy.
Like, just
shorts with nets,
Refuses
to wear pants with them.
Why?
Oh, what? I thought you were on my team.
No, he did it. He did it.
I forgot. I was like, oh, no, I have no wonder. And I had to go out afterwards. And I was like, I'm not going to wear the same boxer shorts and get sweaty and like whatever.
Right.
Right. But I was squatting. It was busy in the gym. By the way, this is like a 5, 6 o'clock time.
The mouse left
busy,
the house.
Busy, busy gym. Row of bikes behind me, like a whole row. And I'm squatting with a kettlebell. Squatting.
No, they ripped.
No. It was net. There was net to stop me, but they definitely got a whole load of the ass.
You could see the satsumas in the bag.
Got a whole load of the ass.
But the worst bit was, it wasn't even that. It was me walking to the changing rooms, holding
pins back. Pinching it together.
Doing like in a football moment where you do little sidesteps.
Sidestepping out the room.
So embarrassing.
At the bottom of the squat, there's enough tension there for this to the split to be like... They're getting aggressive.
I also really embarrassingly was stretching. This is years ago, though. Before I knew what way to train, I thought you just went to the gym and lifted really, really, really heavy weights, and like that would work, right?
That's right.
So I lifted really, really heavy weights because I'm a legend, and I couldn't move my arms. The next day. So they were like that. I couldn't hinge from the elbow, right? So my dad was like, "You need to just stretch them out." And we have a pull-up bar in the house, right? And I was trying to stretch them, ripped my bicep.
Oh no!
Yeah, it was really, really bad.
That is really
bad. So to stretch it, you were hanging. Yeah. Your whole body weight was then hanging.
So when your arm wouldn't straighten, you're like, I'll make it full body weight.
Yeah, absolutely awful. Yeah, very silly. I don't know if that's embarrassing or just awful.
I mean, that's two pretty good, two good embarrassing ones.
Hey, spaghetti. Good, you've recovered well and you got some good curls at the minute.
Thanks, babe.
So you can, you know, the adversity.
The best
bit
we get to just talk about how Josh is still on his own as being the man that wears shorts with those.
Yeah,
pants.
I wouldn't normally do it, mate. I'm sorry. Yeah.
I think like these.
Swimming trunks.
Like
these. Understood.
These you can do because that's like a whole nother item of clothing.
We need to actually go through another like workout. Well, when we say netting, how thick's the netting? How thin?
Are you
suggesting
we go get all your shorts? So we sit in the gym
you and
put
tell
them
you
on,
which
ones. Not those ones.
For mine,
pants.
For
next. No pants.
Full disclosure, we're white, very netted net.
Yeah. Like close net.
Yeah. No, not close net.
Like open
no,
net.
No. It was like a nice
like a fisherman's
loose net.
Like a fisherman's net.
Catching some crabs in there, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Everyone saw his crabs in his net.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I don't have crabs.
Perfect.
I got a story about Connor that could be easily cut out.
Yeah, what is her about?
Fucking hell, Connor's
like, you sent me a text.
No.
I'm joking, I'm not going to
What a response. I love that I'm just having anxiety since I've sat down in this chair.
I'm not going to say it, don't worry. I just thought I'd.
That's very funny.
That was funny, though.
It was.
He panicked.
I want this to be over. I want this to be over.
No. Connor, just stop talking now.
Slam the record button. Stop.
I'm going to pour my drink on this.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to hear from all the guests this series.
And what's coming up?
So I'm about to do this action movie that we can't talk about, but maybe we can talk about.
I mean, we can put something in now, and then if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen.
Yeah, let's talk about it. We'll see. But I'm going to do this like Liam Neeson action movie. I only found out about a few weeks before I'm going to start, and like
that's what we're currently training me for.
Yeah. And so the turnaround for that's been really quick. Mm. We've had to work out quite hard, quite fast, which goes back to that thing of like having a good baseline is like.
Mate,
so,
you went straight back in. We
so
had
important.
We had that one session where
Georgia nearly killed you.
You had to lie down and you had a bit of a white face and you felt like you're going to be sick. You came. You were like, right, I have to do at least 3 a week. But we have like 3 or 4 weeks to get you.
It's pushed because of COVID, but we get to do a bit more. What we're talking about,
like preparing for a role. You haven't got to take your top off. This isn't like one of those aesthetic things. It's okay. I need to look like I can do the shit that I'm going to do. As in, if I was that guy and I had to fight someone, I had to run around, I had to shoot people, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
or whatever you have
fitness.
To do.
It's just being fit. Yeah. Like, it's being the reality.
You're doing it to be able to do it. You're also doing it to look like you could do it because you're that guy.
And also to be safe. To be brutally honest, 100%. Like, whenever you're doing all that stunt stuff, as much as it's choreographed down to a T, you're still having to put a bit of effort into it. And, like, if you're not fit, you can injure yourself very quickly, and then you're not able to.
You would never do anything that many times. Like, the amount of times you do anything on a film set
100%
is what hundreds of times it can be.
Yeah,
for one 100%. Little thing. It's like you'd never do that in any other walk of life, would you?
And the yeah, exactly, 100%. And also, you want to do as much of it for real as they'll let you as well, so yeah. It looks good.
You know what's good about that? You know how to do all those squats to get your bum looking good?
Yeah. Oh my God, Josh, yes.
So that's prepared you.
It has prepared
that
me.
That one shot, you're like, guys, I'm getting shot from behind.
That was my favourite reason for having to train. When he came in, you'd be having my head.
So that you can, so I did, I can talk
so
about that.
That was so good. He came in, I was like, so what are we training for? And he's like, well, can you say like the words that you use?
So I'm doing Derry Girls because I think it'll be out by the time this is out. Yeah. Anyway,
the description was so good.
The description, it's just one of the characters references how good looking my bum is in it. And I came in and I was just like, we need to get my ass looking really good, guys.
It's literally in the script.
They were like, they all speak about for a second. They all speak about how good looking my ass is, and so that was a very specific training session.
It was a good period of training because
it was just one session.
Just one session.
It was the only one when he didn't.
Worked.
When he wasn't doing
these guys are amazing.
When he wasn't doing chest and arms was off the menu for once. But it was a good way of getting you to do other stuff that you didn't want to do.
Do you know what? It made me realize as well how little I use my legs and my back. Like, I needed to do that anyway.
You're now slightly more accepting of the legs sessions, yeah, aren't you?
I need to be.
Yeah. Sometimes you turn up and it's like a Monday and you're like, oh, fuck it, then we'll do legs. And I haven't said anything yet.
Yeah, he's just looking at you.
He's looking like, all right, then we're doing legs. Yeah. I was like, all right, Jesus.
So that's kind of like what we had on Instagram the other day about A, training on a Monday, and B, getting the stuff that you don't want to do.
Getting the hardest thing done first. Yeah.
Because then it's done.
Yeah.
Done it
Friday, you can come in and do chest and arms and feel great. You've done a whole week of good training. Yeah.
Do you know what's quite funny about the Derry Girls thing as well? I don't even know if they really picked up on that in the actual shooting of it once we'd done it.
Nobody, like, no one in real life went, oh, look at his ass.
No, I think they did say the line, but I don't think they shot it in a way that it mattered at all. Like, right. Do you know what I mean? Like,
so it was just good prep for the next
thing. Yeah, it was like,
but
was
how
so
confident did you feel walking around?
Oh, I was so proud of myself, yeah.
The shot is actually just a front on of Connor hearing
just
it going,
really tight jeans all the time. Yeah.
Stand up, let's have a look.
No, Josh.
What else is coming up then? Because you've got...
So we're going to go do this movie in Ireland. Yeah. And then Industry comes out in August.
I can't wait for that.
Yeah, that's
yeah, I'm good. Looking forward to seeing how it goes down because it's been a little minute.
You were going to start it.
Well, we were
going to
start season two in like the September of 2020.
Wow.
Yeah, it's mad. And we didn't do it then. It was a whole year. It was 2021 before we started. This September 2021.
It's been like a 3.5 year gap between series.
2019 is when we shot it.
My favourite moment about Industry is my mum texts me. I think I might have told you this. She went, oh, there's a really fun TV show on BBC Two called Industry. And she's like, I watched the first episode. Maybe you should watch it. And I watched like the first 20 minutes.
It goes.
And I couldn't believe my mum was watching that. And then about a year later, my fiance's mum, similar age to my mum, told my fiance, like, oh, Amber, there's a really nice TV show. It's quite fun. And I was like, why is it everyone's mum? Why is everyone's mum?
They have seen it all before. Like, that is nice to them.
Do you know what? I was so nervous about my parents watching Industry. I was like, no, there is some stuff in there that is very, very explicit and it's very extreme and the language is like whatever. They loved it. Yeah. They were like, this is great. This is the best thing you've done. And I'm like, oh my God.
I'm a psychopath.
They loved it, yeah.
I need to ask my mum if she's seen it.
I got called at a See You Next Tuesday on the street in Soho once.
Because of your character?
Because of my character.
I love that.
I was walking down and this guy went, mate. And I went, yeah. And he went, Industry. And I was like, yeah. And he went, yeah. I was like, oh my God, okay, thanks.
What did you do? You were like,
that's good, I think. I don't know.
I guess it means you've done your job really well.
Yeah, exactly. You have to take that as a compliment. Very, very funny.
Because you are in that first season.
He's not great. He's not a great guy in the first season. He's not. There's no point in that.
Someone in the street just heckled you for it.
I love that. When people really hate a person for that, like, for
so
something.
Can't separate the real person from the character.
It's hilarious.
Oi, Tom, that's I'm going to do him. That's that guy. No, just call him a cunt.
Good crack, though.
And all of your writing that you've been doing. I can't wait
to
see
it. The writing's good. Like, the writing's such a strange thing because you go into development for so long with things that, like, getting it on the screen is...
The shit you're doing now is going to be...
Journey,
possibly
yeah.
in 5 years' time coming out on screen.
Hopefully not 5 years' time, George, Jesus Christ. But, like, yeah, it's a long journey. I think me and Jamie are hopefully next year will be... Like, schedules and stuff are a big thing at the minute for everybody, so it's, like, having time and where we're both free to do that would hopefully be next year. Mm. Spring next year.
Amazing.
The busiest man in the BTL family.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
Connor McNeil.
Thank you so much, guys.
You have time to come
yeah,
to the
it's
gym,
amazing.
To be honest.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me on the podcast.
It's always as fun as this, yeah. And
as off topic as this, as much as a shambles, and it always sounds great.
I love it. Hopefully, some of it's usable.
Oh, no, 100%.
100%.
Amazing. Cheers, guys.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks, Connor.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish. But you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast. So everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.